personal interests, close quote. In the stream of time, as cultures and societies stampede to destruction, so few are willing to identify their prisons or recognize their chains. Clay Richter had decided he'd had enough of that. Tuesday. People aren't meant to live in cages, he thought, as he locked the door of his Brooklyn brownstone for the last time. He was standing at the head of a stoop, his back to the world, on the morning after the worst natural disaster around here since anyone could remember. As he pushed the key in the lock and swiveled it to the left, the motion in his wrist and the anticipatory swivel in his hips and the turning in his shoulders felt good on the balls of his feet. His body was fluid and light. A cool, pervasive wetness hung in the stirring air, and he felt, for the moment, as if he were one with the natural elements, and this feeling made him smile. Clay turned and paused to look around. He felt like he was making a prison break. Was anyone watching his flight? Would anyone notice the tangled sheets he'd tossed and turned on the night before as the storm raged outside his window? When he'd woken that morning, he'd simply stripped the sheets from the bed and balled them up and tossed them out the window, where they now lay on the curb among the branches and leaves that had fallen from the sky as Sandy roared her way through the tri-state area. They lay there like a rope, knotted and tangled among the debris. You made your bed, you lie in it, he thought. For the first time in years, since the day that he'd received the call from Cheryl, he was done with lies. When his feet touched the floor that morning, the cool, grainy texture of the hardwoods pressing against the soft pink flesh of his soles, he knew that he would have the courage to tell himself the truth. He had to get out of his cage if he was going to have a life. He took a deep breath of the thick, moist air and stepped down to the gate. The world was numbly bustling about, surveying the damage, as he lifted the latch and stepped onto the sidewalk. People were haltingly filing past in gauzy disbelief. Some whispered in hushed tones. Others were nervously sharing bits of news. Did you see the tree that fell across Bond Street? My God, have you ever seen anything like this? Many simply walked and stared, too dumbfounded to do anything else. The streets were not full now, like they'd been just 2 days earlier, with people talking in excited tones, daring the forecasters to be right. Then they'd been almost celebratory as they carried their cases of bottled water and their bags of batteries and flashlights in pairs along the street. They always hype these things, you know, they had said. I remember during Irene they told us to stay indoors and they closed down the subways and even canceled schools, and for what? Now the damage was done, and they knew the answer to that question. Clay stood for a moment and fingered the key, rubbing its smooth, worn face, as he felt the mist form droplets on his face and liked it. He was tempted to simply hang the key on the spires of the black wrought iron fence and walk away. He thought of Otis, the town drunk from Mayberry, how he'd stumble into the jailhouse after a bender and reach for the key on the hook for a cell that he had designated as his own and let himself in and out as he pleased. I won't be coming back, but maybe some other sucker could use it, he thought. Then he changed his mind. He preferred to throw the key in the Hudson, a solemn and solitary protest against the willful confinement of urbanism. He felt the key fall heavily into his coat pocket as he stepped into the street. If anyone was worried that one of their fellow inmates was escaping, they didn't give a visible sign. Not even Mrs. Grantham, that inveterate snoop, was peeking through the curtains of her cell. She was probably sitting on the edge of her couch, rubbing her hands together in that way she did, watching her cats eat their breakfast. Clay had sat with her on many mornings, locked in the interminable stillness behind a door laced with innumerable chains and deadbolts. As he'd passed by her door only moments